Luke chapter number 1, we'll be taking our reading from this morning. I do ask you again just to be in prayer for us, and let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I want to thank you for your spirit that I feel here this morning. God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to calm down enough to preach or not. God, but I want to thank you for this bubbling that's on the inside of me, God. God, I want to thank you for being real in my life. God, even though so many times I fall and come short, just as Alan was talking about in Sunday school this morning, how that sometimes we choose to stay on that fence, and even sometimes our life, God, we go against you. But I'm glad, as he stopped reading in the verses this morning, that next verse said, but our God who is rich in mercy, and the times that I fall and I come short and I fail, that God, you're still rich in mercy for me. That God, you still love me, and God, you still have forgiveness for me. God, I pray, dear Father, as we've come together as a family this morning, God, every family has problems. Every family has issues. Every family has some that need help, God. And I'm sure there's some here in our church family this morning, including myself, that just need help from you. And God, I pray that we'll find that help this morning. I know that you're willing, God. I know that you're able. And God, I pray that you'll just help us to listen for your small, still voice. And God, I pray that you'll help us to turn our problems and turn our lives over to you, that we may always be what you'd have us to be. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today with us that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Luke chapter number 1, let's begin reading with verse number 26. The Bible says, and in the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Preacher, it ain't Christmas, it's Mother's Day. What are you doing? Here we go. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Ain't it amazing that all the songs this morning, just about every song that we have sung this morning, has been about the wonderful name of Jesus? I want you to know that as Mary was here this day and the angel Gabriel come to her and he says, Mary, fear not, for thou art highly favored among women. Now I want you to know that we know that this was a special situation and this was a special baby that she was going to give birth to. But I want you to know that every mother that is in our congregation this morning, when you found out, maybe it wasn't the angel Gabriel, maybe it was a little pregnancy test that told you that you were going to be a mama, but you realized at that point in time that you were highly favored among women, that God was fixing to give you a gift, and that God was fixing to do something special in your life. And I think it's amazing how I can remember, you know, we prayed for a while for Silas, and we were so thrilled when we finally found out that we were going to have Silas. And then we sort of had Addie in mind, and we was thinking about having another child. But I can remember we had just kind of mentioned a third one. We hadn't really even planned on a third one. I can remember Autumn coming to me and saying, guess what? We're going to have another baby. And she was so excited. And I was like, yay. That's awesome. I'm so thankful God has blessed us so much. I love all three of my children. And I'm so thankful that God blessed us. God knew better than I did. God knew more than I did. And I'm so thankful that God blessed us with all three of our children. But you know what it's like to hear, thou art highly favored among women. But here, the angel Gabriel is coming. He's saying, Mary, you're going to give birth to Jesus. Now, what I want us to look at this morning is, because Jesus come in such a special way, and he come through the womb of a virgin, that sometimes I think that we take Jesus and we take Mary and we set them over here somewhere like they don't have feelings like the rest of us do. We set them over here and we're like, well, that was just supernatural. And I know that it was, that the Holy Ghost come upon Mary and that she became with child with Jesus and being a virgin. I know that it was, but I think sometimes we set them so far apart that we disconnect them with having real feelings like you and I do. But I want you to notice what Mary did, and we're not going to read the scripture just for the sake of time. But Mary, after she found out that she was going to have a baby, The first thing she done is took off to Elizabeth's house. She wanted to go and tell somebody about being pregnant. Have you ever noticed that these ladies around here who are carrying, they got a different glow about them than everybody else? I don't know what that glow is, but they got a different glow about them. And you can see it on their face, the excitement. And here Mary, she goes unto Elizabeth's house. But I want you to know that even though that Mary may have had that glow, that Elizabeth also was with child and God had worked a miracle there. And the Bible tells us that John began to leap in Elizabeth's womb. There's something special about Jesus, and there was something special about this visit between Mary and Elizabeth. And she is gone because she is so excited. I'm trying to connect us with the real feelings that Mary may have had. Now go to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 15. I'll move just as fast as God will allow this morning. This button says it's a stretch button, but it ain't feeling it right now. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 15. Look, Mary's been carrying this baby Jesus around. Hey, I want you to know that she carried the same kind of load that you ladies have. She's walked around. Hey, I was picking last night. We was out eating, and I've put on some weight. I'm getting close to 200 pounds, and I've got to do something. But I catch myself all the time standing holding my belly. And I told all of them, I said, you know all these women when they're pregnant and they go get a picture taken and they're holding their belly? I said, I feel like I need to go have a picture taken like that. But Mary had a belly just like all of you ladies that have had children. Mary had the pain just like y'all did. She may have had the sickness. She was human just like you and I. Verse number 15, I want you to look. It's finally happened. She's finally through that 9 months. The Bible tells us the angels have appeared unto the shepherds out in the field. Verse number 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. In other words, they told everybody else what the angels had told them. They told them that the angels had told them that there's going to be a babe lying in a manger and there's something special about this baby. Verse number 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse number 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse number 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I believe that Mary knew exactly what was going on. I believe that she believed the angel Gabriel when he came to her and said that this is going to be the Messiah. I believe that Mary knew what was going on with this baby Jesus. But even then, having real feelings like we do, I want you to know that Jesus was her baby boy. Jesus was her special baby. Jesus was just like the feelings that mothers have. It amazes me how that when mothers go into the delivery room and they go through all of that pain, how that when the doctor takes that little baby and he hands it to that mother, all of a sudden all the pain just goes away. There's a big smile that comes on her face. There's a big tear that comes rolling down her cheek. And that's the same way that it would have been with Mary. It wouldn't have been just a supernatural hallelujah, Jesus is here. It would have been just the same thing that you ladies have been through. But this is her baby boy. This is her special baby boy. And I want you to know something. There's something special about mothers and their boys. And I do not mean to leave you ladies and you girls out this morning. There is something special about every woman's children. But there is something, I don't know what it is. There is something between Autumn and Silas that I can't get. I mean, 1 minute, I think she's going to slam him down and stomp on him. And then in the next minute, she's arguing with me because I've got on to him. There's something about that baby boy. There's something about when he's on a baseball field and he makes a play. He could have made 9 errors, but if he makes a play, all of that is forgotten about. And that's my boy. That's my boy. There's something about when he's on a basketball court and the other team is being a little too rough. That's my boy. You better leave him alone. There's something about, hey, somebody is bullying my son, including dad. When I get to bullying Silas, mom takes his side and I get hit in the back of the head with something when we're playing. There's something about a mama and his boy. Turn with me now to Luke chapter number 2. We're going to skip down to verse number 41. Jesus has been born. That's her baby boy. Verse number 41, I want you to look what's happened. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year to feast of the Passover, and he was 12 years old. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. In other words, they were leaving, going back home, and Jesus has stayed behind, and Mary and Joseph didn't know it. And you say, well, that's impossible. Nobody loses their children. I just about lost one of mine out here in the parking lot last week. We were leaving to go eat with some people, and I thought she was in the car with someone else, and I was pulling off, and Autumn was saying, wait, wait, we don't have one. So if you ever find one of my children here and everybody's gone, call me. I'll come back and get them. I didn't do it on purpose. But Jesus has stayed behind. He's lost. Verse number 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. In other words, he was sitting with all the religious people. He was sitting with all the really smart people. And he had understanding of what they were saying and was able to answer their questions. Verse number 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold thy father, and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now, look, I read that real calmly. But I don't think that Mary, you know, I don't think that she went and said, now, Jesus, we've been looking for you and we didn't know where you were at. I believe she would have done just like Autumn would have done Silas and grabbed him by his ear and said, where have you been? I've been looking everywhere for you. I was so worried. Where in the world have you been? And Jesus said in verse number 49, and when he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? In other words, he said, I've got other things that I have to do, Mom. I know you don't understand, but I've got other things that I have to do. I'm here for a purpose. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down unto them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So two times already, at the birth of Christ, and now that he's 12 years old, the Bible tells us that Mary kept these sayings in her heart. Now look, I believe that Mary was there for Jesus all during his ministry. I believe that she was there and provided for him during everything that he did. I believe as he and his disciples went, that I believe there were times that she followed him. I believe that there were times when she was right there with him when the miracles happened. I believe that she was there with her baby boy, just like you would have been with your baby boy or your daughter. And I believe sometimes, you know, sometimes people call me on the phone and say, hey, did you know what Silas did? And I'm going, oh no, I don't know if I want to know what Silas did. But can you imagine being Mary and bumping into somebody and saying, hey, did you hear what Jesus did? Did you hear what your son did? And always knowing that it's going to be, he healed a lame man. He gave a man back his sight. He touched someone that was dead and came back to life. And how she must have been so excited about her baby boy, about what Silas can score 2 points on a basketball court, and it doesn't matter about anything else. He's the greatest player in the world. Just ask his mom. And that's the way that Mary felt about Jesus. This is her baby boy. And then, as life goes on and as he begins to get to the end of his ministry, let's go to John chapter number 19. I'm going to tie this together real quick. This is her baby boy. And as we get into chapter 19 of the book of John, we begin to read how that the purpose that Mary had raised Jesus for has come. We're in chapter 19, and now Jesus has been delivered to Pilate. Now Jesus has been beaten with a cat of nine tails. Now Jesus has been spat upon, and they've taken their fist and busted him in the face. They've ripped out his beard. Now you tell me any mother in this congregation that wouldn't have been just tore up about what they were doing to their baby boy. That any mother in this congregation that wouldn't have been heartbroken about them taking her baby boy, which had done nothing but good for anyone, that had given life, that had given sight, that had touched people who had been sick, and the doctors couldn't do anything about it. And now she's watching them take her baby boy, and she's watching them rip his flesh open with a whip. She's watching them beat him in the face, spit upon him, mock him, call him names. Can you imagine the anguish that Mary had? Can you imagine the fear that she had? Can you imagine how heartbroken and burdened that she was for her baby boy, Jesus? See, Mary was just like us. She had the same feelings that we do. But she knew she had raised Jesus for this purpose. But I want you to look in verse number 25. And as we get to verse number 25, I want you to recall that as Jesus is hanging on the cross, and as they have taken him and they have crucified him, and they have put nails in his hands and they have put nails in his feet. And again, they've done all of this awful, terrible stuff. And he's hanging there, just hanging on by a thread, shedding every drop of blood that he has for you and I. Because I want you to know that as he's there and hanging on that cross, as her baby boy is hanging on that cross, that every sin that you have ever committed, that every sin that I've ever committed, that the most awful sin that you can ever think of was put upon her baby boy there hanging on that cross, that every sin was placed upon him, and even there hanging on the cross, that Jesus lifted his eyes toward heaven and he said, as this sin is on me, he says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My heavenly Father has even forsaken me. My heavenly Father has turned his back on me. My Father had to look away because your sin and my sin was on Jesus. It was on the baby boy." But I want you to look in verse number 25. Even God had to turn his back on Jesus. Verse number 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene." Now I want you to know that even the disciples had walked away, that even his followers had went away for fear. They had went away because they were confused, because they didn't understand, but still standing by the cross of Christ was his mother. Aren't you glad that you're here this morning, that you had a mother that stood beside of you, that even when you were wrong, now Jesus hadn't done anything wrong, but he had your sin and my sin on him, that when even there in that shape, that Mary was still standing there with her baby boy. I'm glad that there's been times that I was wrong in my life. There's been times when I was not living right, and my mama was always there for me. My mother was always there for me. And I can tell you right now, to all of my kids, not just Silas, and I know I'm preaching about the baby boy this morning, but even with all of our kids, even when they do wrong, we still love them. We still stand beside of them. There's some that may be living lifestyles that we don't agree with. They may be drunkards. They may be living a lifestyle that we don't agree with. They may be in prison. They may be doing several different things. But I want you, they're still our children and we still love them. But sometimes we as dads, we kind of distance ourselves from it. But I want you to look, who was standing by the cross of Christ? His mother. Man, I'm thankful for godly mothers that stand beside of us when we don't even deserve anybody to stand beside of us. And here stands Mary beside the cross of Christ. She's been there for his birth when he was at 12 years old during his ministry. And now that they've beaten him and now that they've killed him, she's still right there with her baby boy. Verse number 26. The Bible says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by." See, John had left, but he come back, and he's standing there beside of Mary, and the Bible says that when he saw the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Jesus is worried about the well-being of his mother, even as he's dying. Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now, I want you to know something, that Jesus was concerned about the well-being of his mother. Even as he was dying, he said, "I want somebody to take care of mama. I want somebody to be there for mama. I want somebody to love mama. I want somebody to be what I couldn't be because I had to give my life for her. I want somebody to stand in that gap. I want to keep that relationship like it should be." And man, that's awesome that Jesus had that love for his mother. It's awesome that John was willing to stand in that gap. But I want you to know something, that there's a greater parallel in this than John being there for Mary. There's a greater parallel in this than Mary becoming the son of the mother of John and him taking care of her. Because I want you to know that as Jesus was laying there on that cross, as he was hanging there on that cross, that as he gave up his life, that he not only was looking after his mother and saying, "I want to make a way for her. I want to give her an opportunity to be taken care of." That Jesus looked way down in the future and he saw you and I and he said, "I want them to be taken care of. I want to make a way for them. I want to give them a way pray that they can be reconciled unto the Father. And as he's hanging there on that cross, and as he cries that it is finished, he knows that his work is completed there on the cross of Calvary. That not only was he concerned with his mother there right in front of him, but he was concerned with you and I. That he knew that we had sin that we could never overcome. That he knew that we had a sin debt that we could never pay. But he gave his blood for you and I, that we could be reconciled unto the Father. That we would be taken care of. That we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. That we could be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm glad that as Jesus is hanging there on that cross, yeah, he's thinking about his mama and he's thinking about having her taken care of, but I'm glad that he took care of my sin debt as he was hanging there on that cross that day. Man, I'm so thankful that God provided his son and that Jesus was willing to give his life for me. Mom's still there, but then I want you to notice something. I'm not going to read the scripture for the sake of time. Mary is there as Jesus takes his last breath. Mary watches them take him off the cross. Mary watches as they go and they lay him in a borrowed tomb. But if you continue reading over in chapter number 26, I believe it is, maybe 21, that the ladies there on the first day of the week, the Bible tells us that Mary, and no, it was not the mother of Christ, and that Mary Magdalene and a couple of other ladies, they go out and they carry spices unto the tomb of Jesus. And I searched my Bible through and through for the last couple of days to find, where was Mary the mother of Christ? Why was she not at the tomb? Why did she not go back out there? Why did she not go to put spices on the body of her baby boy? Why did she, look, she let these other women, hey, she was there for his birth. She was there when he got lost. She was there through his ministry. She was there when he gave up his life's blood there on the cross and watched him take such an awful beating. Where was she at on the first day of the week when they went to the garden? I want you to know something. I believe this is something that those things that Mary was keeping in her heart. I believe that she believed with all of her heart that her son was the Messiah. I believe that she knew that he was not there. You know what? Mamas ain't going to go where baby boys ain't. And she knew that baby boy wasn't there in that grave. She knew that he had kept his word. She knew that if she went out to that grave that they wasn't going to find Jesus laying there. I'm glad this morning that we're not serving a Savior that is laying in a tomb. We're not serving someone that they put on a cross that just cared for us while he was on the cross. But I'm glad that we're serving a Savior who defeated death, hell, and the grave. That this morning he is risen. He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. That he loves you more now than he did the day that he gave his life on the cross. That he loves you so much that he just wants to hear from you. Hey, those little girls were singing a song, and in the verse it said, you didn't want heaven without us. I'm glad that Jesus didn't want heaven without us this morning, and that he was willing to give his life that you and I could be there in heaven with him. Hey, mama ain't going to go where baby boy ain't. Can you imagine what it was like when they walked out there to that empty tomb? Baby boy ain't there. Baby boy has risen. He's alive this morning. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is alive this morning. Jennifer, if you will, come get us an invitational hymn, you and Hannah. I'm almost done. If I don't get done soon, I'm going to die up here. This morning, as we're looking at this verse of Scripture, I want you to look at one thing. We were talking about Mary and Jesus' relationship. Now, I believe the whole time that Mary was raising Jesus, that she knew he was here for a purpose. I don't believe she liked what his purpose was. But she raised him in a way that she knew he would fulfill the will of God in his life. Now, look, this morning, if you're here, I know not everybody had the opportunity to be raised in a Christian home. I understand that. But I would say probably the majority of us here this morning, we were raised in a Christian home. We were raised with a mama that prayed for us. We were raised with a mama that when you were out doing things you shouldn't have been doing, that she was praying that God keep you safe and bring you home. I've seen my mama sit and actually be just completely sick on her stomach, crying and praying to God for my brother. I've seen that with my own, and I want you to know that some of you had mothers that did the same thing. And they knew that you had a purpose and that your purpose was to fulfill the will of God in your life. Now, my question to you this morning, first of all, is, are you fulfilling the will of God in your life? And are you fulfilling what mama raised you to do? You say, well, preacher, I don't think it's about mama. No, it's probably not. But if you're here this morning and you're not living and fulfilling the will of God in your life, if you have a godly mother, I guarantee you she's still praying for you. I guarantee you that there's nights she's still got her head on her pillow and there's tears still coming down her face and she's still praying, God, get a hold of my son. God, get a hold of my daughter. She's wanting you to fulfill the will of God in your life. And you say, well, preacher, I don't know about all that. Well, I want to tell you something. That just as I said, mamas don't want to go where baby boys ain't. Wherever mama goes, she wants her children there with. And if life continues, one day we're all going to lose our mothers. If life goes the way that it's supposed to. And if your mother is a godly woman, she's going to be in the presence of God. But if you could ask her right now, the only thing that you could give her that could make her happy is the assurance that you're going to be there with her. The assurance that knowing that one day when you lay your body down, that you'll be in the presence of God with her. Now see, Mary raised Jesus up to fulfill the will of God. She didn't like what she had to see, but she knew that Jesus fulfilled the will of God. Are you fulfilling the will of God? With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. I know that I have sort of preached in circles this morning, and that's okay. Because it ain't me that does the work anyway, it's the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit has spoke to your heart and you know that you're not fulfilling the will of God in your life. First of all, if you're here and you're not saved, you're not fulfilling the will of God because the Bible tells us that He is not willing that any should perish, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the will of God for your life. But you may also look at your life and say, you know what? I'm not even fulfilling what mama raised me to do. I'm not even being what mama taught me to do. I'm not even living what mama raised me to do. And I know I need spiritual help this morning. Preacher, I've never been saved. I do not know that if I died today that I would go to heaven. Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you? That's all I'll do. I won't call your name. I won't point you out. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm lost. I don't know that I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Maybe you're here this morning. You may find yourself, preacher, I know that I'm saved. I remember the day that I asked Christ to come into my heart. But I'm not fulfilling the will of God in my life. I'm not living the way that I was raised to live. And I'm sure not living the way that God wants me to live. And I just want you to pray for me. Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you? Amen. Hands all over the church. Hands all over the church. Amen. Preacher, just pray for me. I want to be what God wants me to be, and I want to be what even mama raised me to be. Anyone else? God sees your hand. You can put it right back down. Now look. Admitting that is the first step. Coming and getting things right with God is where we complete that. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for this opportunity that we've been in your house. God, I want to thank you that you was willing to give your life for me. God, I want to thank you that you came for a purpose, that your mother raised you for a purpose, and that purpose was to fulfill God's will that I could be saved so that I wouldn't have to die lost and go to a devil's hell. God, I pray for the hands that was raised in the church this morning. God, I know you've seen every hand. You know every need. And God, I pray, dear Father, in just a minute, as Hannah sings and we have an opportunity to make things right with you, God, I pray that you'll just draw. God, I pray that you'll help people to come and make things right, God. God, I pray, dear Father, for everyone that was raised, that you'll give them strength, you'll give them courage, and help us all to live the way that you would have us to live. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you stand to your feet this morning, if God spoke to your heart, please don't walk out of here with a need. Man, this is the getting place. This is a place where you can get everything all right, right here around this altar. This is an opportunity. This is like the strongest opportunity that you're going to have. Don't leave here needing to do business with God. Come on before Satan has time to talk you out of it.
And in their pain began. bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, sing out in praise, defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the Lord, the truth.
Thank you for your attendance and for your attention today. I really appreciate you being here. Just thankful most of all for the Spirit of God meeting with us today.